Well, take out your Bibles. This wonderful song was this morning reminding us of many great truths that are important for us. We'll be back in Exodus. We'll be going to Exodus 19 and 20. And you may recognize those passages as Exodus 19 and the giving of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, I'm sorry. Just a quick review, by way of reminder, Exodus 1, the continuation of Genesis, Pharaoh's wicked plans, and his fear of the things he could see, and keeping his power and his way of life. Exodus 2, the sovereign working of God and baby Moses and preserving the people, and even really the God working out his plan and carrying it forward when even the Israelites certainly would have known what God was up to. Exodus 3 and 4, God called and sent Moses to deliver his people. Moses would be his deliverer, deliver them from their bondage. Exodus 5 and 6, Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Of course, very important in the narrative. God's message to Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejected God's message. Life is very simple that way, as we're going to see again today. When you know the word of the Lord, when the word, especially in this situation, when the word of the Lord significantly, specifically comes to you, you shouldn't expect it to go well if you reject that. And for us today, we have the revealed word of the Lord. It's one of the problems in our world. Many people just reject the word of the Lord. They don't want to hear what the Creator says and submit to and yield to that. And it makes life very difficult. And we'll see that a little later, what's important there as well. Then God's 10 plagues on Egypt in Exodus 7 through 10. They rejected the word of the Lord, and God had to do what he said he would do as part of his plan. He revealed himself through the 10 plagues. Exodus 11 through 13, the 10th plague, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Again, pointing us forward to Jesus Christ. And that was, and just a remembrance, as we'll see again today, part of the Ten Commandments, a remembrance that they would remember what the Lord had done. Exodus 14 through 15, the crossing of the Red Sea, God's providing for them. And really, the ten plagues were against the Egyptian gods. And the crossing of the Red Sea and the Red Sea defeating Pharaoh's army was really God showing that it's not just he's the greatest God above all, he's the God above all nations as well. Their armies are nothing to him, their leaders are nothing to him, and he will do what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And he proved himself there. He had victory over Pharaoh's chariots. Why would he need to do that? That's really where we live, isn't it? We live in the, but that's the spiritual realm and this is real life. And I think that's just God enforcing that message to the Israelites. I'm the God in the spiritual realm, and I'm the God in the here and now. I can defeat these armies and these problems that you see with your eyes. They're nothing before me. Exodus 16 to 17, the grumbling of the people and God's provision of manna in the desert as well as water several times. The people grumbled, they complained against the Lord. They quickly forgot his wonderful works and his love for them, and they, instead of asking, they complained. And we saw last week, Exodus 17 through 18, Moses and what was going on there as they led into the desert, but really some principles of leadership is what seemed to be the main message in those passages there, that Moses was chosen by God to lead Israel. The Israelites were attacking God when they thought they were attacking Moses. When they attacked Moses, they were actually attacking God. We saw that leadership can be a very heavy responsibility. Moses got tired of the complaining. The Amalekites attacked right in the middle of their bickering. Joshua was chosen to lead because he was faithful. He was found faithful and he had proven himself faithful, so he was chosen to lead the armies. And part of that, Moses' leadership would be through intercession and praying, holding up his hands, and the army would get victory. Jethro came on the scene and gave Moses some good advice. Leaders will listen to good advice. Leaders are good at hearing and not just always talking, which is a challenge for many of us. Good leaders delegate responsibility. And as we saw, the church works when we work together. That's God's design, that we serve together, that we help one another. I remember one time I was doing many things and in Mount Pleasant, and there were some other things that needed to be done. And one of my friends said, "It seems to me that you have not yet mastered the attribute of omnipresence." I said, "You're right. I don't think I'll ever get that one down. Omnipresence is not attainable by a human. I can't be everywhere at one time. Only God can." And that's one of the reasons that we need each other. And so we work together. Church works when we work together. And we certainly do need each other. I was meditating on that this morning. Isn't it interesting that in the world, the message, it's to all of us, but certainly to men, is there's weakness in need and there's weakness in depending on another person, right? Be a man, be macho, the Lone Ranger. You don't need anybody to... Now, you just think about that. That never has worked. Has it ever worked? You know, would you really go... Would Rambo really win? No way. He'd be dead the first 5 minutes, wouldn't he? You can't fight 100 people by yourself. I don't care who you are. Right? There's no way. It doesn't work. It's a fantasy. And I would submit to us this morning that one of the reasons that we like to do it alone or go it alone is because there's no accountability when it's just you. You get to call the shots. You get to say what happens. You get to decide what goes on. And when you start to work with other people, all of a sudden you got to give a little, right? You got to yield a little. You got to work together. You got to work through personality differences and things. That's why God has jammed us into the church together, different people from different places in life with different ideas and different perspectives and different thoughts on things and different cultural experiences, so that we would learn how to love one another like God loves us and give grace and work together. Now, isn't that wonderful? It's just part of God's redemptive plan that we would be different together working for one goal. And that's what he's doing. And we need each other desperately. Today, we're going to look at the Ten Commandments, the giving of the Ten Commandments. And even as I say that, it would certainly come to our minds that it's very important part of the Scriptures. And it's talked about much, and God was specific to single out some of these commandments. And so it'll just be really important for us to take a look at these today. That'll be in Exodus 20. What we're going to look at, though, what we're going to read is Exodus 19. Just kind of get the context of the giving of the commandments. So read along with me. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came to the wilderness of Sinai. They camped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and sat before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses repeated the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today, and tomorrow let them wash their garments and be ready. For on the third day, the Lord will come down Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain.'" So Moses went down the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garment. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on a mountain, a very loud trumpet blast. So all the people of the camp trembled. And then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. And the smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. And the Lord came down on Sinai, the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." Let's pray together as we prepare to think on the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and really even the context of what's going on there in Exodus 19. God, thank you for once again the reminder today of who you are and even a glimpse as we've been reading into your greatness. Certainly we know that what we have is a glimpse. That we're so finite that we don't grasp your incredible majesty, your greatness, your immensity, just your holiness, your perfection. Help us to a little more today, God, appreciate that and to appreciate you. And even to further remember who you are and who we are and just be in awe as we think on, God, how you've chosen to relate to us, your people. God, use your word to change us, to help us open our understandings, to know you better. And God, just glorify yourselves through our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what was going on in Exodus 19? What is going on there? Why the big display there, or even just recording it for us today before we get the Ten Commandments? It's very important, isn't it? It's very important. God laid these things out sequentially for us so that we would understand the purpose and point of his giving the Ten Commandments. The first thing that we'll notice is the continuing message throughout Exodus is that God wants them to remember who he is, what he has done for them. It's a critically important principle for life. Exodus 19:4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." He wanted them to remember what he had done, what he had done to the Egyptians, what he had done for them, how he had rescued them, and what the purpose was that he was bringing them, not just out of slavery, right, but bringing them to himself. Now, think about this. This is a whole other message, right, by itself, right? Think about life today. There's this sort of errant view out there. And this is why there's so much confusion. One of the reasons there's so much confusion in the world as it goes to speaking with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ is because there's this view that somehow Jesus died to give certain people or people or whatever a ticket out of hell and to heaven. Couldn't be further from the truth. That's a wonderful benefit of the cross, that he died for our sins and we don't have to pay the penalty of our sin. It's a wonderful benefit of the cross, isn't it? But Jesus died to provide a people for himself, zealous for good works. He died to give us a relationship with him, a real, living, growing relationship with him. That's wonderful, isn't it? Well, then you can just accept the grace of God and do whatever you want and sin whatever, however you want to, right? The only reason there's confusion along those lines is if you view salvation as a ticket to heaven. It is not. Salvation is a relationship with the living God, right? And you don't want to displease the one who loves you supremely, right? You want to live for him. You want to love him. You want to know him more. You want more of him. And he's working in your life and you're filled with joy. The more you know him, the more you love him. And of course you're not going to spit in his face and count as nothing the grace that he gives you every day. This weird darkness and this mixed message. Notice what he says, "I brought you to myself." See, it was revealing that even to the Israelites, why I delivered you, not just to deliver you from the slavery and the bondage that you are in, but to bring you to me. Man, it's a wonderful message, isn't it? The Israelites, I should have. And I know some of them, it did just stir their hearts as they heard those words from their God. Now, the next part of this is they made a contract. The contract, and really this was just a continuing revealing and unveiling of the covenant that would come to them in different ways, but always the same covenant. And in a way, they were ratifying their relationship. See it this way. The Israelites were saying yes to God's offer of a covenant relationship with Him. And if you look at God at 19, verse 5, God says, "If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So he was reminding them, this is the covenant that I'm going to make with you. He'd already made the covenant with Abraham, but he's reminding them that this is what he was doing. And so he was offering them the expectations and the benefits of his covenant or contract. He was offering them a contract, really. If you do these things, then you will be my treasured possession. All the earth is already God's, but they would be his treasured possession. Now notice this, very important. All the people answered together and said, "All the Lord has spoken, we will do." They accepted the terms of the covenant. "We agree," is what they said. All that God said, we will do. This is very important in the unveiling because at this point, think about it. What if God had said, "Okay, here's what's going to happen. You obey my voice, you do my own, you'll be a treasured possession to me. Here's the terms of the contract." And they said, no. Do you think we would have the Ten Commandments in this part? No, right? See, isn't this important for our understanding? Okay, now, here's the terms of the contract. You accept. Okay, now here's what you need to do. And I'm going to unveil that for you. So it's very important in understanding the Ten Commandments, and even the rest of the Scriptures and God's working through Israel. Now, think about this. In the next part, we see that they couldn't just come to God any old way. Pretty hard to miss that in this chapter, isn't it, right? He told them, set bounds, don't even touch the mountain. No one's allowed to come up, because I'm going to come down. If an animal even comes up and touches the base of the mountain, you need to stone them to death. Now, think about that. How important, that's another thing I think is lost on modern man. It's just the greatness, the majesty, the holiness, and the purity of God. And it is nothing to take lightly. Amen? Can you get that from this passage? God is awesome. We don't take His holiness or His personhood lightly. We don't just come to God any old way. Not just anybody out of the camp in the rebellious heart couldn't just saunter on up to the presence of the living God and just say, "Hey God, here I am. I don't care what you say," right? You had to obey God His way. And Moses even, God even reminded Moses, "Look, Moses, go back down and tell the people, don't touch the mountain." Right? Moses said, "Of course they're not going to." God said, "Go down." Right? Evidently they probably were going to. Right? And so God is saying, "Look, you can only come to me my way." And He was laying out those boundaries for the way that you come to Him. We have that amazing scene there in 16 through 20. Just review it with me just a little before we move on. Verse 19:16. "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. So all the people in the camp trembled." Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Do you think God got anyone's attention that morning? You think anybody slept in? I don't. I don't think one person slept in. It would be hard to miss that God was giving a message of His majesty, His greatness, His holiness there for everyone to see. And it seems like it was lost on some of them at some point, but it was an amazing scene. Like, God is God. He is holy. And you don't come to Him just any old way. You have to come to His way. That's the point then, as we get into Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, He gave the Ten Commandments in the middle of that amazing scene. Now, close your Bible. Close your Bible. Close it. Shut off your iPad or whatever. Close your Bible. All right? And just be honest with me right now, okay? You're not allowed to lie anyway. And you really shouldn't lie in church. Right? There's something about that. Can you recite the Ten Commandments, 1 through 10, in order right now? I bet there's a few that can. Some can, I'm sure. Some can. I can. But think about it. Is God's commandments to us very important? Can you, sitting in a church, people that love the Lord, say the Ten Commandments in order right now? You know, when you talk to people out in the world about Jesus and their need for a Savior, many people will say they're good enough. They're good. They're relying on their goodness, their ability to be good. And if you mention the Ten Commandments, many people will say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Right? Remember some of the people in Jesus' day? Oh yeah, I've done that since my youth. Right? Now think about it. If you can't say the Ten Commandments in order right now, how many people that are relying on their goodness to get them right with God do you think can? I would say it's very low. Now, I want to submit this to us this morning. This is just, again, my opinion, one of these things. It's in the for what it's worth category, but I think this one actually is worth a little something. If you don't even know the commandments, what makes you think you're keeping them? Huh? What do you think about that point? If you don't even know the commandments, what makes you think you're keeping them? And Jesus even told us, and we'll see later here, the point is not just the what we think we're keeping the commandments, but it's what's going on inside of our hearts as it goes to the Ten Commandments. People will say, oh yeah, I'm basically good. I'm a good person. But if you can't list them all or recite them in order, then you're going to have a problem with that. We were... Gary and I talked to a guy just very briefly this week, and I gave him a book, and he said he knew he would go to heaven because he's friendly. And Lori and I talked to a lady a couple months ago that said she would go to heaven because she was happy. And it's interesting, isn't it, the way that people think. Basically good, I'm friendly, I'm happy, right? You know, well, what happens when you're angry? You see, it's very interesting. Well, so the Ten Commandments, we'll get into that a little later, but that's maybe it's discouraging, but at least it's clarifying that if we're going to judge our lives based on this as the way that gets us to God, we've got a problem. Now, let's see here. I've known the Ten Commandments in order for probably 10 years, and I figured probably what would happen is this will be the one day I won't be able to do it. Well, I'm going to give it a shot. And of course, in paraphrasing, I'm not going to recite the chapter. But it's one, you shall have no other gods before me. You can't have any other gods. God alone is God. There's no other gods. Two, you cannot create any graven image of any kind. No idols. And the world is full of idolatry, isn't it? It's just full of idolatry. And we see in this passage, again, people wanting to make something to put their hands on to worship God, and He would not have that. You can't worship God that way. He isn't limited by what we think He is. He is who He is. Three, you cannot take the Lord's name in vain. Don't just throw God's name around like it's some common thing or even use it as a curse word. Isn't it interesting today that no one goes around yelling Allah when they're angry? It's interesting, right? People use the Lord's name in vain all the time. Four, keep the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And we saw that God wanted them to keep the Sabbath in the manna before He even gave them the law. So it's very important. It's rooted in creation that we would have a day of rest for drawing near to the Lord. Five, honor your father and mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, do not commit adultery. Eight, do not steal. Nine, do not bear false witnesses. The old version of that, it's really don't lie. be honest. Don't lie. Don't be a liar. And you know anybody that bears false witness ever, right? Don't lie. 10, in case you got all the other 9 somehow, don't covet. Huh? Don't covet. Don't covet. And the list is very comprehensive. Don't covet after the things your neighbor has. Don't covet after this. Don't covet after that. Now, I wanted to this morning, I knew we were having projector problems, so I just decided not to spend any work on it. But I wanted to because I looked on the internet and found a bunch of pictures of someone I wanted to show here. There's only been 2 people who didn't covet in the world, in world history. One of them was Jesus. He kept the commandments. He completely fulfilled the law and everything that he did. And the other was actually Gautama Buddha. He was totally desireless, is what he said. I wanted to throw a picture up there of him, because did you know this? And I want to ask you a question. If you weigh 600 pounds, are you desireless? Huh? Have you ever seen a statue of Buddha? You know, he had many wives. Buddha coveted, didn't he? He wasn't desireless, right? If you weigh 600 pounds, you've got a desire problem. Right? Isn't that true? You're a coveter. So there's really only one person in this world that has not coveted at some point. Right? Don't covet, the 10th commandment. How'd you like that for your religion? Just stop desiring altogether. You can pull that off, right? Stop desiring. That should make you right with God, if you can do it. No one ever has. Now notice this about the 10 commandments. The first 4 are what what's been called, it's not original with me, but vertical commandments. In other words, they're more God-oriented than they are people-oriented. You can't have any other gods. Verse 23, God alone is God. You can't make an idol. Verse 24 and 5, God is a jealous God. He doesn't accept worship any old way through idolatry, and he doesn't accept worship by people calling him some other name. Oh, everyone should be fine if they just worship their God their own way. And that's not what the scriptures say. That's not the way God has communicated for us, for him to be worshipped. The next 2, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Verse 7, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You don't just throw God's name around. You don't make empty oaths and just use God's name as some kind of a weird talisman or a curse word. And then verse 8 is to keep the Sabbath. Now you can see that as a human thing, but really the Sabbath was a day to stop work, to stop striving, to rest, which we really need in our world today, and to focus on God, to draw near to him, just to think about him and to meditate on what he's done for you and just to love him more. So it really is more of a vertical commandment, again, rooted in the created order. If you look at verse 11 of 20, in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, all that is in them on the 7th day and rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And if it was important enough for the Creator to rest, and he instructed us to rest, we need to rest. We need to have that day where we draw near to him. And so we have those first 4 vertical commandments. And the 6 other commandments, then, are more people commandments or horizontal, one to another commandments. In 20:12, honor your father and mother, it just simply says that. It's the first commandment with a blessing. We're told later in the scriptures that your days may be long in the land and your God, in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Great parenting principle there, right? It's right for parents to tell their kids to honor them, to make their children understand that they need to honor their parents because it's good for their children. There's a blessing involved in honoring your parents. You live long in the land. Your days are prolonged. God has promised that, so. That's right, for parents to do that. 20:13, do not murder. Again, pretty horizontal there, right? Don't kill each other. World is full of murder. Do not commit adultery. 2:14, And of course, very horizontal, or a very terrible and painful thing when adultery happens. 2015, no stealing. You take what someone else earned rightly, or it belongs to them, and you just steal it and take it for yourself. It's a horizontal commandment. Do not lie or deceive. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't deceive someone. Very horizontal. And then verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or his Nintendo, or his PlayStation, or his car, or his mansion, or his boat. That's, or anything that is your neighbor's, right? That's that what that is. It's anything that is your neighbor's. Any stuff, don't covet it. Envy. I want something that you have, and I don't want you to have it. Right? That's what's going on there. Do not covet anything that is your neighbor's. Now, think about this. We've got these commandments. Here's God laid them out for us, the Ten Commandments. Very important for life. We would see that life would certainly break down if we're not keeping these commandments. The world is certainly not keeping these commandments. Isn't it, just as an aside, isn't it interesting that our world is continually calling good what is evil? Has forever, by the way, right? It's no new thing. Don't think that somehow we're living in the darkest days ever. That's crazy. That's not true. It's always been fallen, okay? Now think about this, though. Our world is now calling what is evil, always has been, but calling evil what is good, calling good what is evil. Don't worry about it. If you're two men and you want to get married, who are you to point a finger at them and say it's wrong? Well, okay, then let's just apply that across the board. I like to murder. Is that okay then? I mean, it's my predisposition. I like it. You can't make me feel bad about murdering, right? You see, when we have a standard that God has given to us, we just need to keep that standard. We don't need human reasoning to figure out what's right or wrong. God has told us what's right and wrong. And it simplifies the issues of life a lot for us. And this, I encourage you just to keep things simple. You know, how about stealing? I like to steal. Boy, it feels, that's just the way I am. Don't judge me, man. I'm coming over to your house later today. Right? All of a sudden, it starts to get important to have commandments, right? Isn't that true? It starts to get important to have commandments. Now, how have you thought about the Ten Commandments in your life? Just take a minute and think about it. How do you view the Ten Commandments? How have you thought about them? What has been your view of these commandments? Here's some things that you'll... Here's some ideas, and here's some things that are out there, and you'll even find, if you do much reading, the Ten Commandments are God's rules. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. God's regulations or God's standards. Do a Google search. You will find the Ten Commandments, God's rules for family. The Ten Commandments, God's rules for marriage. The Ten Commandments, God's rules for parenting. The Ten Commandments, God's rules for dating. God's rules for life. The Ten Commandments, God's rules. If you would follow these, your life would go a certain way. And that's what they're for. Now, if we look at Exodus 19:5, we'll find that the Ten Commandments are actually very important. Therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Okay, so God wants one of his people to obey his voice. It's very important. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 27:9 with me, as we see a very real application of that truth in 19:5. They were coming into the land, and God set half the people up on one mountain and half the people on another mountain, as they went into the land. So they sat some there, as the rest of the people went in. Now notice this. Let's read it together. Moses and the Levitical priest said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become a people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." That day Moses charged the people, saying, when you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin, and these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, and the Levites shall declare all the men of Israel in a loud voice. Cursed be the man. Now here's the thing. Do what is right, you get the blessings of the Lord. Do what is wrong, you get the cursing. And God wanted them to understand that as they came into the land, it was not okay just to disregard His commandments, but they needed to obey His voice. How have you viewed the Ten Commandments in the past? I would guess that pretty much everyone here has viewed them as very important. And I'm glad for that, by the way. I hope you're not seeing them as not important. But I want us to notice something today. I think it's another thing that is utterly lost on our world, is that the Ten Commandments are much more than rules. And the rule part of the Ten Commandments is really not the important part. And there are people like the Pharisees of Jesus' day who could stand up very proudly and say, I have kept that from my youth. And everyone would look at them and say, oh yeah, that guy's good. That gal is perfect. And the truth was, no. They didn't realize that. They didn't realize that although they're the external person that were keeping those commandments, the internal person, there were dead bones, there was no relationship, there was a wrong heart. Now again, we're in Exodus 19:5, back up one. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. The commandments that God delivered to them were relational in nature. See, God was with Israel, and this part, the commandments are just part of this. He was building, forming, fostering, growing a relationship with them. He wanted them to be His people, a special people, to love Him. He wanted them to keep the commandments because they loved Him. He wanted them to remember what He had done for them. These are the words you shall speak to the people of Israel. God spoke the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, verse 1. He talked personally to them. Now, if you're kind of struggling with that a little bit, we'll flesh it out a little bit. But turn with me first to Matthew 22, and that'll help us. Matthew 22, 37. How should, and maybe we're asking the question today, how should we view these commandments? How should we look at and view and approach the Ten Commandments? Matthew 22, 37 is where we're going to look right now. Jesus speaking. Now, this is very important, isn't it? We read some of this. One of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Pretty important for our talk today. You get to 37, and He said to them, Jesus is speaking, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Summing up again those first four commandments, 38, this is the great and first commandment. 39, and the second, see, the lawyer just wanted one, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, the second is exactly like it. It's relational in nature. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Think about this with me today. It is totally impossible to keep the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments we're talking about, without love. The point of the commandments is love. It's relational. It is love. God wants us to love Him. Love the Lord your God. Love others as yourself. Now, notice this. If you love God, He will be your only God. If you love Him, He's it. If you really love Him, He's your only God. Your heart is not searching after and running after every other false god, looking for something to fill you that will not fill you. You're not looking here and there and hedging your bets and hoping this or that. He's alone your God. I think about it in life. Would that work in marriage? You know, well, I got you, you're my husband, but I got Jim over here and Fred over there and Sam, and right? Well, sometimes you're not the greatest husband, so I've got four or five guys on the side. Is that okay? That's not love, right? That's self-centeredness, you see? Love. God commands us to love only Him because that's real love. He is our God. We don't chase after other false gods. We don't make idols to come to Him some other way. You know, we don't slander His name. We love Him. We keep the Sabbath because it's not hard to keep the Sabbath when you love God. You're looking forward to that day when you just get out of the junk of the world and the pressures and the stuff that's captivating everyone else's attention, and you focus on Him. You rest. You pray. You draw near to Him. You enjoy Him. You worship. You love Him. People, can you murder someone you love? Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother in your heart without a cause, you've murdered them. Is that love? Anger is self-centered. It's not love. Do you steal and take from someone when you want their best? Care for them? No. Can't. Right? You give. You don't steal. Remember in Ephesians, he said, the person that used to steal, let him work and labor so that he can have something more to give a person that's in need. That's love. You see that? That's love. That's caring. It's thinking about others, not yourself. Can you commit adultery when all you really want is that person's life to be rich and full and for them to know your affection and your love for them? No. You'll commit adultery when you want what you want. Right? When you think you need something and when you're running after something and you're not caring for your spouse. When you're loving them, there is no way to commit adultery. Hear that? There is no love in adultery. None. The person that commits adultery, they don't love you. They're using you. The person that's committing adultery with you, they're using you just like you're using them. There's no love. You would want their best. You want them to please God. You won't hurt and use people when you're loving them. You see, the commandments are not just a bunch of standards or rules or things that we have to do. These are God helping us see how to love better and to form a relationship with Him that is real, that is rich, that is growing, and a relationship with people that works because this is how He's designed us to live. Why is the world such a mess? And it's a mess not because people haven't submitted themselves to some standard, but it's a mess because people haven't submitted themselves to God's standard because they don't love. Okay? And that was wordy, right? It's a mess because people have not submitted themselves to God's standard because they refuse or they don't love. And we can make people not kill each other by putting them in jail or whatever, right? But we cannot force people to love each other. You see? And so the world's a mess. The world's a mess because of that. The point of the commandment is not just to keep the letter of the law, but to let God change your heart and to make you a more loving person. God wants your heart, doesn't He? He wants you to turn to Him, to submit to Him, to love Him and to love the people that He's placed in your life, all of us, as bad as we are. Now, the Israelites, as God was forming this relationship with them, got to see a glimpse of His greatness. They got to see Him as He is. And He revealed Himself to them as He gave them these commandments. Verse 22 of Exodus 20, the Lord said to Moses, you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves and I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings. See, God, you can only come to God His way. And as we go forward in Exodus, we're going to come to a little bit more of the giving of the law. We're going to come to some things about the tabernacle. And notice this, that God is preparing the people as He gives them the Ten Commandments to worship Him. So important, isn't it? He's not just telling them, here's how life works, or here's how you need it, here's how your nation will work, or whatever. But He's preparing them to worship Him. Make an altar for me this way. Come to me this way. You can only come to me. You see, it's all about the relationship with God that he is forming with them and that he is preparing them for in these Ten Commandments. I hope that's clear today. I hope this is helpful for us in some way. But the Ten Commandments are all about where is your heart at and who is God to you and how do you treat the people around you. And it's not so much just about the rules or whatever, try to make life better for you. And it's pretty amazing that God has gone to this degree to let us know him, to prepare us to worship him, really, and to give us a constant reminder of who he is. It's why I love these Old Testament narratives, because there's just real people with their Creator relating to him, and it's just like us. We come to him exactly the same way today. Well, let's pray together. Just ask God to continue to help us understand what he's doing in the world and what he's done. God, thank you for the Ten Commandments. We know that they're very important, and certainly, boy, the world and life does completely break down if we violate them. But God, we know that the Israelites didn't keep your commandments because their hearts were far from you. It wasn't that the commandments would have saved them, but a heart that loved you would have kept the commandments. And we get it backwards as people a lot. And we're just thankful, God, that you have been gracious to us today in sending Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and to make us a people for you, fit for service and zealous for good works. And pray that you just continue to work in our hearts and lives and change us and let us know you. God, use your word in our experience today. God, encourage us as we have a conversation. And just glorify yourself, Lord. We love you. We've gotten a glimpse of your majesty from your word. And God, we want to take that seriously and turn to you in repentance, God. Accept your will for us and to put off the wrong thinking that certainly has dominated us at times. God, help us to love each other. We live with people that are broken, and we are broken, and we clash. And God, would love rule and reign in your people's lives even today as we please you, as we, God, love them. And Lord, fill us with joy as we do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.